Inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is AFA at the Core on American Family Radio.
Here on the American Family Radio Network. Welcome to AFA at the Core. I'm Walker Wildman here on the American Family Radio Network. So glad to be with you today on the show. Our website is afr.net. afr.net is our website. That's where we are on the World Wide Web. You can go there and listen to the live stream there on our website, afr.net. But not only can you listen to the live stream there, as we have all of our shows uploaded as podcasts there on the website as well. So when you go to afr.net, not only can you listen to this show, AFA at the Core Live, but you can go back and listen to past shows. So go to our website, afr.net, click on the podcast link, and then click on AFA at the Core. You'll see my show page there. And you can go back for as long as you want. You can go back to a show from 3 weeks ago and listen to the show there. So we archive all of our content. We upload it to the internet as a podcast. And you can go there and listen at your convenience. And also, if there's a show that you want to share with your family or your loved ones or maybe a church member, you just go there to the website, find the link, and share it with them. That way, they can go back and listen. And one other note I'll mention about our website is Bobby, my producer, we often upload links to those shows. So if I mention a couple of stories that are of that are noteworthy, Bobby is sure to upload the URL there on the show page so you can click through and read the news stories for yourself. Many of the topics that we talk about on the show. The other thing I'll mention is our app, our mobile app. On the App Store, wherever you download apps, whether it be on an Apple device, an Android device, even Amazon Alexa, we have a skill there. So wherever you download apps, you can download the American Family Radio app and listen live and also listen to our podcast there on our app. Today, we are not doing video, by the way. For those who typically go to Facebook or YouTube and watch the live stream, we are not offering video today. We are not offering video today on Facebook or YouTube on AFA at the Core show page. So you'll just have to go to our website, afr.net, to listen to the audio, but we won't be offering video today on the show. Jumping right into the news of the week, you know, yesterday I talked about yesterday I was not on the show. Fred Jackson was filling in for me, but Monday rather. I hosted Monday, and we talked about AFA Action acquiring iVoter Guide. AFA Action is the 501c4, that's an IRS category. AFA Action is the governmental affairs affiliate of American Family Association, and just recently, AFA Action acquired iVoter Guide. iVoter Guide has been known for over 10 years of producing an annual voter guide when it comes election season. And iVoter Guide is a Christian-run organization that AFA Action acquired. And so AFA Action and iVoter Guide are now under one entity. And so we're going to head into the midterms, and I'm CEO of AFA Action. So we're going to head into the midterms very strong, and we're going to continue publishing and expanding our reach with the iVoter Guide so that Christians all across the country can have the most information possible when they go to the ballot box. Because as you and I know, it is often difficult to be studied up on every single candidate that's on the ballot. I mean, I'll just confess myself, when I go to vote, oftentimes it can be overwhelming. Because not only every 4 years, not only are you voting for a president, maybe you're voting for a U.S. Senate race, maybe a congressman, congresswoman you're voting for, but you're also voting for city council, mayor, county supervisor. There's all kind of positions I could go through. You've got school board races that are on the ballot every so often wherever you live. So I say all that to say, as Christians and as citizens in this country, we need to do our homework. But if you're not able to do all of your homework as you go to vote and go to exercise your right, iVoter Guide, now under AFA Action, is going to help provide you with more information as you go to vote each election cycle. So that's exciting news. If you want to read more about that great announcement, go over to afaaction.net. afaaction.net, go over to the website there and check it out. Jumping right into the news of the day, there is some good news, by the way. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how Congress was attempting to pass a bill, the National Defense Authorization Act, which is an annual bill that essentially funds our entire military operations, funds the Pentagon. And in this bill that was being circulated in Congress was a provision that would force our daughters, America's daughters, to be automatically entered into the draft, the military draft, which those of us who have a biblical worldview and we understand God's word, God's creation, God's natural order, and we also understand, those of us who are believers, we understand that God created women to protect, to care, to nurture, to guide families, but God did not create women to go in foxholes and fight hand-to-hand combat with the world's most dangerous countries. Oh, but Walker, women should have the same opportunities as men. You're exactly right. Women should not be forced to do the same thing as men. That's the point here. If women would like to voluntarily sign up to serve our nation in the military, great. Good for them. But we do not need to force America's daughters into the draft so that down the road we force women who don't want to do this to go fight America's wars in lands far, far away. So we just don't need to do that. And I explained that extensively when I talked about this topic just last month. The good news out of this is that that provision has been defeated. That provision in the legislation has now been defeated, so it will not be included in the National Defense Authorization Act that will go to the president's desk. So that is good news. That is good news. But this entire agenda, this entire issue is really divided between two lines. There are some people in our country who want to act like men and women are not different. They want to act like there really is no such thing as a biological man, which I don't even, shouldn't even have to say that. It's man and woman. Some people want to act like there's really not a difference, you know, we're all the same. If you want to identify as one or the other, just do your thing. It's really no problem. That is a direct assault on God's created order. That is a direct assault on God's created order. And it's a further undermining of God's creation. You know, I talked extensively several years ago about the Obergefell decision in 2015. And for so long, I mean, this goes back to even my grandfather's days of fighting the culture war. Christians were told in America that all these homosexuals want, all they want is to be recognized. All they want is, quote, marriage. Even though you and I know that there is only one definition of marriage, and that is one man and one woman for life. But Christians were told, you know, you guys just need to back off. All these people want is marriage. How is it going to hurt you if the state recognizes them as being a married couple? And so many Christians actually gave into that. They actually caved to that argument. Well, I mean, it wasn't 12 months after the Obergefell decision that in North Carolina, we were fighting to keep men out of women's bathrooms. We were fighting to keep men out of women's bathrooms in North Carolina. And I know, we all have short-term memory problems, or really long-term memory problems, because we remember the fight we did yesterday, but we don't remember the fight we did 5 years ago. But we should. It's very, very important. So the country, the culture, and the lefties, the God-haters, moved from, we just want same-sex marriage, to now we want men going in women's bathrooms. Men who think they're women to go in women's bathrooms. That was the whole North Carolina bathroom debate. And now, they want drag queen story hour at our local library. See, you see the trend here? It's never enough. But when you look in God's Word, when you look throughout Scripture from the very beginning, Genesis, all the way to now, to modern day 2021 America, man's sin nature always wants to go farther. Just a little bit of sin, a little bit of deviation is never enough. It's never enough. And to be quite honest with you, if you look at Scripture, there is no sin that will bring fulfillment. There is no sin that will bring ultimate fulfillment. And that's why we see, and you and I were once lost. All of us listening to my voice, we were all once dead in our sins. We were all once lost to sin until God redeemed us. God sent His Holy Spirit to save us. But before that, I mean, we all have to remember the days where we were chasing things that we thought would satisfy us. But they never did. And thank God that you and I have found Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so I say all that to say that deviating from God's created order, deviating from God's design will never lead to fulfillment. And whether this is that we're talking about the topic of human sexuality, whether we want to talk about marriage and adultery and all the other plethora of areas, you can talk about theft, you can talk about lying, coveting. I mean, we could go through the whole Ten Commandments. But in every scenario, deviating from God's word never leads to fulfillment. You might get temporary fleshly satisfaction from deviating from God's design, from God's word, but it never leads to ultimate fulfillment. Ultimate fulfillment in this life and the life after comes through obedience to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we find that fulfillment by being obedient to God's word. And you know, one thing that sometimes irks me, one of the few things, is when Christians act like we don't have guidance. When Christians act like God's word is vague. When you read and study and consume God's word, He gives us clear marching orders. I don't need to pray on whether I should love my neighbor. I don't need to pray as to whether I should love my wife and be loyal to her. God's word speaks directly to that. So my prayer should be, God, I know what you want me to do. Help me do it. That should be our plea to the Holy Spirit and God the Father through Jesus Christ, our mediator. We'll be back in a few minutes.
They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scriptures?" My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. These words were shared between Cleopas and his companion on the 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus as Jesus, in resurrected form, used the Hebrew scriptures to reveal himself to them as the Messiah. There are at least 109 distinct biblical prophecies the Messiah had to fulfill. The mathematical probability of such a feat occurring is astoundingly absurd, yet that absurdity is satisfied in Jesus, the Messiah. Come, let us adore him.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Raising Godly Girls Minute with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls.
Intrusive thoughts can happen to anyone, but for some, having intrusive, unwanted, and distressing thoughts can become a cycle of obsession that's seemingly impossible to break. If your daughter struggles with persistent, intrusive, and obsessive thoughts, it may be time to seek professional clinical help. Spiritual warfare is very much alive in our world today. In his second letter to the people of Corinth, Paul tells us, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." The Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome. It gives us the strength to ask for help, to rely on our Christian community, to pray unceasingly to God, and to release fear and live in the assurance of His promises.
Learn more about empowering girls through the love of God at RaisingGodlyGirls.com.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. And what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. Double. It really is remarkable. There's more than 400,000 members now who have shared more than $4 billion in medical bills, so they can handle your bills too. And here's the thing, if you join before December 15th, they'll waive your new member fee. So that's another $170 you'll save. I'll give you the number here in a second, but call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline, December 15th. So call now and you'll save even more. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
AFA at the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Back to AFA at the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to AFA at the Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to be with you today on the show. This is AFA at the Core. Check out our website, AFR.net, or you can download the American Family Radio app. Hey, we're broadcasting remotely today, so there is no video on Facebook or YouTube. We're not live streaming like we typically do on Facebook or YouTube. So we're broadcasting remotely today. And by the way, if there's maybe it sounds a little bit different or you hear some technical difficulties going on in the background, we're working through those right now. We're broadcasting remotely today. So that's what's going on. If you've heard some slight differences in the audio, we're working through those as we speak right now. Jumping back into the show and to some of the topics I want to discuss today, what's going on across the country is actually encouraging. You know, there are some discouraging parts of what's going on around the country, but there's also some encouraging things going on, and we have really two things pending when it comes to the life movement and saving babies from the horror of abortion that has haunted this country for four generations. We have the Mississippi 15-week bill that was already argued before the Supreme Court just last week. The Supreme Court is set to issue its opinion on that sometime in 2022. The most optimistic scenario there is that the Supreme Court sends this decision, this discussion, back to the states. and all the states that have constitutional amendments, that have laws that outlaw the killing of babies, all those laws would go into effect immediately overnight. So that is some good news, something optimistic about what's going on in our country. And on that note, you know, the Democrats have no shame. And even some people that call themselves Republicans, they try to straddle the fence. Let me remind our audience, there is no straddling the fence on this issue. Either it is a baby or it is not. And let me add a caveat to that, or a side note. It is a baby. It is a baby. We don't have to flip coins or, you know, go talk to the scientist. It's a baby in the womb, all right? And if you foster that beautiful life, which my wife is actually doing now, she's 7 months pregnant. If you foster that beautiful life, guess what happens? You give birth. And in most scenarios, you give birth to a beautiful, healthy baby. Either a baby boy or a baby girl. So there is no straddling the fence. Either it's a baby or it's not. And since it's a baby, nobody should be killing the baby. Whether the baby is 4 weeks old or 40 weeks old, the baby deserves life. Well, if someone disagrees with me, Senator Amy Klobuchar, she was on NBC Meet the Press this past Sunday, and she actually admitted out loud that there are some Republicans who are willing to codify baby killing into federal law. Clip 5, let's listen to this.
I would turn this the other way. 50 years of precedent, as Elena Kagan pointed out, 50 years of decisions and court decisions, part of the very fabric of women's existence in this country. This is how our country protected rights. And now they're willing to just flip it on its head. And so what is the answer? The answer may well be doing it through the political process now. I don't think that's the right thing to do, but it may be the way to do it. And I think the best way to do it is not a patchwork of state laws, mm-hmm. but to put it, codify Roe v. Wade, put it into law. And we even have some pro-choice Republicans that have signaled interest in doing that.
Well, there you have it. That's an interesting development, huh? So let me get this straight. Not only do we have shameful Democrats that are willing to promote the killing of babies. But according to the senator there, Senator Amy Klobuchar, and who knows, she may just be pulling this out of the thin air, but that's on her, not me. She just said that, quote, pro-choice Republicans have, quote, unquote, this is all a quote, so let me just say it all together. Quote, pro-choice Republicans have signaled interest in codifying in federal law Roe v. Wade. Really? I would really like names. Please? If that is true, which it really wouldn't surprise me, that is an indictment on the Republican Party as a whole. Oh, but Walker, you can't indict a whole party over one issue. Oh, yes, I can. I just did. The right to life is a fundamental tenet of the Republican Party platform. The right to life is it is like the backbone of the Republican Party. And so if you're telling me, Senator Klobuchar, that there are people who ran for public office with an R by their name and took money from the GOP National Party and took money from thousands of donors in their respective state to run for office and get elected, but they are now signaling willingness
to codify in federal law the killing of innocent babies. That is the most offensive position one can take in America in 2021. Can you imagine? Can you imagine back, I don't know, 50, 60 years ago, even before that? Can you imagine politicians signaling willingness to codify slavery into federal law? This is the equivalent. And so my job now is to find out who the Republicans are. So we'll report back to you at a later date on who those Republicans are, because I would be very, very interested to know, and I think their constituents deserve to know as well. Moving on to a few other topics. You know, we really have a uniparty in Washington, D.C. We really have a uniparty. We have the insiders and the outsiders. There are certain patriots in Washington, D.C., lawmakers that firmly believe in what they ran on. They firmly believe in American exceptionalism. They firmly believe in the U.S. Constitution. And so there are good people in Washington, D.C., don't get me wrong. But we all know there is a uniparty. There is a group, a cabal of Republicans and Democrats that all really believe the same thing. They all really believe most of the same thing, which is mainly the problem. And we saw this during the Trump administration. Republicans were fighting Trump on stuff that you would think all Republicans could agree on. And so really what we need in Washington, D.C., and this is an uphill battle, but I wouldn't say it's impossible. We need more outsiders in Washington, D.C. than we have insiders. Well, Walker, isn't everyone who goes to Washington considered an insider? Well, not necessarily. There are people, elected officials, namely the House Freedom Caucus, Senator Ted Cruz, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Ron Johnson. There are a handful of senators and more than a handful of congressmen, congresswomen, that are patriots and they are outsiders. And they campaign and they run on things they genuinely believe in, and they're willing to fight for them. So we need more of them and less of the uniparty. We need less of the people who don't do what they said they would do. Moving on to staying in Washington, D.C., but a completely separate topic than what I've been discussing is what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. You know, this is absolutely astonishing. In recent weeks, I have seen lawmakers get more hyped up, get more angry that Vladimir Putin might drive tanks into Ukraine than they get angry and upset and principled on the fact that we have cartels driving drugs and slaves into America. And one person, one great patriot who has been speaking up on this is Fox News' Tucker Carlson. He was the one that brought this to my attention. But Tucker Carlson has been on this for a while now, and that is the collective, the Republican and Democrat outrage at Vladimir Putin building up troops on the Ukrainian border. I mean, for example, Senator Roger Wicker from the state of Mississippi went on Neil Cavuto's show this week. And in response to the Russian threat on Ukraine, Senator Roger Wicker said, quote, "I would not rule out military action." He went on to say, "I think we start making mistakes when we take options off the table. I would hope the president keeps that option on the table." What option? boots on the ground in Ukraine to defend against Russia. So what happened to NATO? What happened to NATO? Isn't that their job? Yes, the U.S. is a part of NATO. Yes, I understand that. But how many other countries are a part of NATO too? Why don't they send their young men and women over there? My point in all of this is I could ask some foreign policy expert about this, and they could probably convince me that Russia going into Ukraine is not a good thing. Maybe. It would be a stretch, but they might could do it. But I'll tell you one thing that I cannot be convinced of. One thing I cannot be convinced of is that I, as an American citizen, should be more concerned about Vladimir Putin going into Ukraine than I should be about illegal immigrants and cartels and MS-13 and Al-Qaeda and ISIS terrorists crossing the U.S. southern border without resistance. Because that is what is going on right now. As we speak right now, hundreds of thousands each month, each year, over 1 million illegal immigrants. We don't know who they are, where they came from, what their background is, what their intention is, and really that doesn't even matter. Crossing the border illegally is crossing the border illegally. See, I don't like going down the path where, you know, well, if it's MS-13, then it's bad. No, if anybody crosses the border illegally, child, woman, man, grandfather, grandmother, anybody crossing the border illegally is a bad thing. We don't have to, like, hype it up and make it sound scary. We have ports of entry, and then we have a border. And if you don't cross in the proper place, it's illegal. And if you don't have the proper documents, well, that's illegal too. But I say all this to say that Washington, D.C. needs to get back focused on protecting America. And this is why people love Donald Trump. For some of the faults that President Trump had, one thing he had right is considering the interest of our blessed country first before we go out thousands of miles away and we defend other people's borders. How about we protect our own borders first? And another analogy here, and this is not novel, another analogy here is that here I am, a husband, a dad, a son, and let's just say my neighbor calls me. My neighbor calls me. We've had a string of break-ins in the neighborhood. My neighbor calls me and says, "Hey, Walker, you know, let's just say it's an elderly woman, maybe a widow." She calls me and says, "Hey, Walker, you know, we've had this string of break-ins recently. Would you mind coming over and just making sure all the locks on my house work? Would you just come over, you know, check all the locks, make sure they all work, just so I know I'm safe? Or at least I know I've done the things I need to be as safe as possible." And I say, "Sure, absolutely, I'll be right there. As a matter of fact, I'll bring somebody with me to help." So I do that, but yet at my own home right next door, I don't even have locks on the door. I don't even have a security system. I don't even have locks. Matter of fact, I don't even have a way to defend myself. You see how backwards that is? It's okay to help other people, but let's make sure we're taking care of our own household first. How complicated is that? Boy, is that concept foreign in our nation's capital. We need more people in Washington, D.C., more elected officials in Washington, D.C., that understand that if we can't protect our own land, our own soil, then we sure enough can't go thousands of miles away to protect other people's borders. AFA at the Core will be back in just a few minutes.
Twix is selling more than candy. There are no candy bars in their latest commercial, but there is a young boy wearing a dress because it makes him feel good. His nanny, who is a witch, magically makes another boy disappear after he expresses an opposing viewpoint. Twix is actively pushing gender dysphoria and the LGBTQ agenda, and they apparently condone killing anyone who has a different opinion. Please sign our petition telling Twix you won't buy their candy bars until they decide to remain neutral. Go to 1millionmoms.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
You know, in Matthew 19, the scripture records a Pharisee trying to test Jesus concerning marriage, and Jesus responded, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." In the beginning, the first institution God created was the family. Marriage is the centerpiece of family. As a husband and father myself, let me tell you, marriage is absolutely wonderful. And we want to encourage and educate people to embrace God's design as the fundamental building block for all of human civilization, and to celebrate the lifelong union of one man and one woman as the objective institution that produces human flourishing.
Tune in to By Design as we explore God's true purpose and design for marriage. Just visit the podcast page at AFR.net.
Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope exists to love and serve those in need. Over the past 15 years, over 40,000 volunteers have helped 7,000 families rebuild their homes for free after natural disasters. We've also renovated and rebuilt facilities to bring hope and healing to those rescued from sex trafficking. Our rapid response ministry is busier than ever. With 40 deployments over the last 4 years, we've been able to minister to so many when it mattered most. It's completely free to serve with us. We provide your food and lodging when you volunteer. There's countless opportunities for any skill set and any skill level. We spend multiple weeks with those that have lost so much by cutting trees, tarping roofs, mucking out houses, and so much more. Consider joining us on our next outreach. You will never be the same. For more information about 8 Days of Hope, please go to 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
AFA at the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to AFA at the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to AFA at the Core here on American Family Radio Network. Our app is available for you to download free of charge. There's no gimmicks, no tricks. No gimmicks, no tricks. I got to tell a funny story. Bobby's like, come on, Walker, you've been saying you're going to get to clips all show. I've only gotten to one clip. All right, I know. I like to talk, though. I was in college. You talk about being naive. Boy, was I naive. Probably still am. But I got a card in the mail. You know, one of those cards, one of those flyers from a car dealership. And they say, if you'll come down to our lot, our car lot, you know, you got a chance to win an iPad. You can win, I don't know, maybe a basketball goal. And if you're lucky, you might even win some gold, like a gold coin. I can't believe I'm telling this on the radio. So I was like, man, I told my roommate in college, this is awesome. I mean, I'm really not going to lose anything to go down. I'm just going to drive 15 minutes, and I'm going to win one of these three things. I mean, it's given. Look, it says it right here. I drove down to the car dealership. They gave me the walk. You know, you got to walk through all the cars and everything before you get to the table. They sat me down and said, you know, fill out this paperwork. They wanted basically my social security number and all my information. No, I'm kidding. They didn't want that. But they wanted my information so they could market to me later. Well, I said, you know, I came for one of these rewards here. This gentleman went back, like in some back smoke-filled room, and he brought back a coin. You know, it was one of, the three items I was going to win. It was a gold coin. He handed it to me, and at this moment, I realized, boy, I've been tricked. This is all a scam. He handed me this coin, which they probably gave everybody a coin, because an iPad and a basketball goal cost 100 times more than this coin. So I looked him in the face, and I said, man, how much is this coin worth? He said, I don't know, about 50 cents. And at that point, I realized I don't need to respond to the car dealer's flyers in my mailbox ever again. So I say all that to say that be careful who you trust. And if the deal sounds too good to be true, then it probably is. Except our app literally is free. Our American Family Radio app is free. Go there and download it. It takes you about 2 minutes, and you can listen to all the great content, including this show, AFA at the Core. All right, back to the show, back to the topics we're going to discuss today. The COVID response insanity just continues. Every corner we turn, there's another trick. There's another talking point. There's new information about COVID. Well, a couple things that we just have to talk about today. The first thing is this story out of Long Beach. So Mount Sinai is a hospital system, and they actually operate hospital systems mainly in New York that I'm aware of, Long Beach, New York specifically. So this is a Mount Sinai hospital in Nassau County, New York. And we've all seen the mandates. Well, actually, three of Biden's mandates have been struck down. The Center for Medicaid or Medicare Services was struck down. The OSHA or Department of Labor mandate was struck down. And lastly, just today or yesterday, the federal contractor mandate was struck down in court. So all three of those have been defeated in court. Well, still, this hospital system in New York, Mount Sinai, they fired, listen to this, you know, we're supposedly in a pandemic, right? This is supposedly an emergency, a health emergency, but this hospital system, in one hospital location, they fired 72 employees that had religious exemptions against the COVID-19 vaccine. Well, what happened after that? The emergency room had to shut down completely because they were so far understaffed. Here's reading directly from the news story from LifeSite News. A New York emergency room will be closed for at least a month due to the state's vaccine mandate. The Long Beach Emergency Department, operated by Mount Sinai Nassau Hospital System, fired about 72 employees who had religious exemptions from the jab mandate. The state officially ended all religious exemption, which is illegal, by the way, unconstitutional, for healthcare workers on Monday. Some of these six dozen employees are ER nurses who the hospital said are not easily replaced. All right, let's listen to this. This is a local news report. Let's hear it for yourself. This is clip four.
A Long Island emergency room just closed its doors because it just doesn't have enough staff.
It says it had no other choice. This is fallout from New York's vaccine mandate. But now Long Beach left without an ER. News source Greg Sergel has been looking into this. He's standing by there live. Greg?
And David, residents of this city by the sea are stunned by the loss of this ER. But the hospital that runs it says it had no choice. Mount Sinai South Nassau Hospital officials told me a little earlier they lost six dozen employees today, all unvaccinated workers who the State Department of Health determined could no longer serve patients because they were unvaccinated.
Long Beach's only emergency room shut its doors this afternoon for at least a month. The closure came just hours after Mount Sinai South Nassau Hospital alerted this community of the shutdown.
I think it's shameful. I really think it's shameful.
A local civic leader says the decision leaves 50,000 Long Beach residents with no emergency care facility within the city limits.
to think that they can't get the quality of care that they need in the amount of time that that is acceptable is, again, it's deeply troubling.
This Long Beach councilwoman fought back tears as she urged Mount Sinai South Nassau to reverse its decision. This ER sees about 70,000 patients a year, but the hospital blames what it calls a temporary closure on a shortage of nurses, a shortage linked to New York's mandate requiring that all healthcare workers be vaccinated against COVID.
It's very frustrating to hear it's closing.
Sal Giamalvo was among the last to be treated here, now worried, he says, about having to make the 15 to 20 minute drive to the main hospital 5 miles away in Oceanside.
Many of the residents of Long Beach do not own cars, do not drive. They are stationary folks here in the community. So I think it's ridiculous.
Let me clarify, the six dozen employees of Mount Sinai South Nassau who were lost today, they were all working with religious exemptions, but the State Department of Health withdrew those exemptions, and that's why they can no longer serve patients.
There you have it. That is what's going on in Long Beach, New York. And the responsibility lies on the administrators of that hospital. You know, because we can shift blame to the politicians and the policymakers, and there is part blame to be shared there. But we need people, we need hospital administrators with a little bit of backbone that are going to say, as I've said before, we're just not going to do it. You say we're going to do this, I say we're going to do this, and we run this hospital system. This is what we will do. We will not terminate employees over an ineffective scam of a shot. Well, Walker, that sure is tough language. Well, our government spent over $20 billion, and that's on the conservative side. We spent over $20 billion with big pharmaceutical companies to produce a shot that was supposed to rid this planet of COVID-19. That was the talking point. During the final months of the Trump administration, what was the number? 90%+ effective. Fully safe, fully effective, this shot will be. That's what we were told. Now we are firing nurses. We are firing frontline workers that have literally put their life on the line to help people. Long Beach, New York is firing them because they don't have the backbone to tell the New York politicians and policymakers that we're not obeying your unlawful edicts. So the blame can go both ways. We need bosses. We need administrators from whether it be corporations that don't even do healthcare work. We need administrators, boards of directors, bosses that have enough backbone to tell these people that are pushing this nonsense that they can just take a hike. We're just not going to do it. That's what American Family Association told the Biden administration, the Department of Labor, about 3 weeks ago. When he signed in to place, when the Department of Labor signed in this illegal rule, our temporary standard, as they call it, that we were supposed to force all of our employees to take a shot. So we went to court at the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans, Louisiana, and we told the Biden administration they can take a hike. We're just not going to do it. And we won that court case. It's now being litigated at the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. And we just put in a petition last night that says the exact same thing. We will not obey illegal edicts, illegal orders. Because there is such thing in this country as the Constitution and the rule of law. And that deserves to be upheld no matter which king is in the White House. Moving on to another clip here, and this is out of Los Angeles. Boy, is this disturbing. This is probably more disturbing than the clip I just talked about. So Los Angeles, a school in Los Angeles County, is giving out shots, apparently. I didn't even know this was legal. I guess if you get the parental consent, maybe. They're giving out shots to people who are 12 years or older in this school. Well, according to this local news report that I'm about to play right now, one of the teachers or one of the school workers gave the shot to a child under 18 without the parents' consent. Listen to this local news report. This is Clip 6.
Now, at least two parents are accusing the school of giving their children the vaccine without their consent. NBC4's John Kadich-Klimak now has the story from South L.A.
I should have been involved.
Maribel Duarte says her 13-year-old son, a student at the Barack Obama Global Prep Academy in South L.A., brought home this vaccine card after having accepted the COVID-19 vaccine at school. She says he said yes when someone offered it in exchange for pizza.
The lady that gave him the shot and signed the paper was the one that told my son, please do not say anything, I don't want to get in trouble.
LAUSD says student matters are confidential and wouldn't comment specifically, but did say its Safe Schools to Safe Steps incentive program is meant to ensure several steps are in place for vaccinated students to receive prizes. Not against the vaccine, she's vaccinated herself, but it's different with her son. Because he's got some underlying conditions that concern you?
Yes. He has problems with asthma and allergy problems. But here's the problem. Kids in California cannot consent to vaccination.
Attorney Jennifer Kennedy has been following the two cases against LAUSD over the vaccine mandate, currently making their way through court. Both are ultimately seeking an end to that mandate.
The LAUSD does not have the power to add a vaccine shot to the California school schedule.
So I'm not even sure that that's legal, even if the child consented. I will have to read up on the California state law, but I know in parts of the rest of the country, those of us who have our head on straight, you cannot give a shot. You can't give anything, any kind of medication to a child without the explicit consent of the parent or parents. You can't even give a child Advil without some kind of signature from a parent. But here in Los Angeles County, they bribed this child with pizza and jabbed his arm with this experimental COVID shot without his mother knowing. He's 13 years old. This mother should sue Los Angeles Unified School District until they don't have any money to operate anymore. This is unacceptable, folks. This is unacceptable. It's one thing for a consenting adult to raise their hand and sign up for an experiment. It's an entirely different thing to bribe a child, a 13-year-old child, with this shot. So we need to continue fighting, continue speaking up, and this further proves that we need to know exactly what is going on with our children when they leave our home. Where are they going? What are their teachers doing? What are their school administrators doing? What are they doing when they're with their friends? We need to make sure we care for and protect our children. AFA at the Core, I'm Walker Wildman. We'll see you next time with more AFA at the Core.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.